Hi, I'm Mike Holvey, President and CEO of the RAB, and welcome to Radio on Main Street, the podcast all about radio. We recently attended the annual NAB show in Las Vegas. Over a five-day period, the convention brought together over 61,000 attendees. There was a lot of excitement on the exhibit floor, up the escalator, in the hallways, and in the meeting rooms. Some of the key takeaways included the continued excitement about innovation taking place in the industry, recruitment, a lot of sales ideas, and a buzz about what the future could be. RAB's immediate past CEO, Erica Farber, and I had the opportunity to sit down during the conference with thought leaders to talk about what they see as today's challenges, but also tomorrow's future opportunities. A big thank you to Inco and to Benstown for allowing us to record live in their exhibit booth every day of the convention, including a few live stream interviews, which were the first time that we were able to do that. In the 10th episode of our series, Erica has a conversation with Mike Dowdle, who prior to his retirement in April was Vice President of Business Affairs and General Counsel at Bonneville International. Mike has had a big support of the RAB on his resume and in his personal life. He has served on our board of directors, our executive committee, and he has helped the organization chart its course forward. Mike began his career as a lawyer, and due to a litigating experience, he shares on this podcast how he pivoted to a totally different direction that led him to media, entertainment, and then a career in radio.
Well, welcome to Radio on Main Street.
Thank you.
As Mike just shared with me, this is Mike's first podcast. He's certainly been on the air quite a bit, but I promise to be kind. I'll be gentle.
Well, the good thing is you can edit out whatever you want.
Well, right? Exactly. But for those of you watching, we have this beautiful award sitting in front of us, and congratulations.
Thank you.
And there's more where that came from today.
Yeah, we won two of the 10 for Bonneville. This one was for KSL AM and FM, a news talk station in Salt Lake City, Utah. They've been nominated so many times, have won a couple in the past. This, I think, is their fourth, and it's a long time been coming, so we're really proud of KSL.
I don't want to get fingerprints on it, but,
no, go
but
ahead.
I'm going to tell you something. I've never lifted
they
one of these.
They are heavy.
They are, like, heavy.
They're very heavy.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. The other one we won was for KMVP in Phoenix, Arizona. We have the distinction now of having the first sports station ever to win an NAB Crystal Award. So
wow.
We're pretty proud about that.
That's what a beautiful
proud
day.
For both stations.
Absolutely.
We had three other nominees as well. We had the nominee with Coit FM in San Francisco, KYGO in Denver, KYGO FM in Denver, and then what was the other one? Oh, and Cairo FM in Seattle. So those three didn't win it this year, but, you know, there's always more where that came from, I guess.
You know, when I think of Bonneville over the years, community service is just at the top of the list, and the consistency to which your radio stations serve your communities, I can't think of any other company that consistently has the success that your stations have had.
Well, thank you, Erica. Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of radio companies that have service in their DNA.
No question.
And a lot of fine companies run by very good friends of mine throughout the industry. And we're not unlike them in the sense that it's deeply embedded within what Bonneville's been about for 100 years now. But I guess the difference would be the founding documents for Bonneville, much like Hubbard. We heard from Dan Seaman at Hubbard today about this original founding document from Stan Hubbard that talked about service in their DNA. Mm-hmm. And that's very similar to Bonneville. The founders of Bonneville, who were some of the authorities at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, they told us right from the beginning, 100 years ago, that service to the community in which we are located is the most important thing that we can do in broadcasting. We're in a business. We try to make money. Some years are more successful than others. But the service component never changes.
Right.
And so we're proud of that, probably more than anything else we do. It's one of the reasons Bonneville was the founding partner for the NAB with the Service to America Awards that happen in June every year in Washington, D.C. And the same thing with the Crystal Awards for just on the radio side. So for us, that's really what we're all about.
That's just great. You have a very interesting background, Mike. You know, most of us that are in the business grew up in the business, if you will. But you were also on the music side.
Yeah. I started my education is as a lawyer. So I started out there and had no idea I was going to end up in any of this, frankly. Graduated from law school and then practiced law for 8 years, made partner at a firm in Salt Lake, and thought that was going to be my career. My whole life was about practicing law, until it wasn't. I had a couple of friends come to me, and I'd help them organize a little production company, a little music production company. They did jingles for local advertisers. It started out really humble. They were both trombonists in the Osmond Band back in the day,
The
Osmond family. Yeah. So they started this little company, and they came to me to try to help them get organized and to help them negotiate some of their bigger deals. As they started to grow, they did bigger and bigger deals with the big networks, with Disney and the other movie studios, and so they needed a little bit more sophisticated help, and so they came to me as their counsel, and I negotiated those deals. Lo and behold, a couple of years went by, and they came and said, we'd like to go into business with you. And I said, well, thank you, but I'm kind of doing this law thing. But as things progressed in my life, I decided that law was not the path that I would prefer. It was changing my character a little bit, changing my nature, certainly.
Right.
And I didn't want to be that person. I didn't want to be the always confrontational, always loaded for bear kind of person. So
I can't even imagine you doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that law is still certainly a part of what you do, but
yeah, it affects my thinking and my reasoning and the way I go about doing, but it really changed my personality. It started to affect my family life. And I thought, you know what? I finally had a man. Do I say, I tell this story here? Yes, I'll go ahead. Like, I haven't told this story very much because it's kind of a painful personal story. I was deposing a man in a big litigation that we had. We represented a savings and loan, and he was being accused by this institution of having defrauded them. And I was deposing him. And in the course of that deposition, he died of a massive heart attack.
Oh, my gosh.
And it changed everything for me. So.
Wow.
That sort of cracked open the shell a little bit. And I thought,
you know what,
I'm not doing this
anymore. As you were starting
to
tell the story, I was thinking, I don't know how many of our listeners have ever had to be deposed. It's probably one of my worst professional experiences. I've had to do it twice.
Yeah.
And I'm defending behavior.
Yeah.
And feeling terrible.
Yeah.
And I haven't done anything wrong.
Exactly.
It was horrible.
And that's the nature of the adversarial process that we have in this country. And frankly, in most of the Western world, law is practiced like that.
Right.
And it is an unpleasant process at best, and can be very brutal at the very worst. I was not necessarily being openly confrontational with this man. He was an older gentleman. I say that because he was my age at the time, and I was in my 30s, young 30s. But I did have some documents that made life unpleasant for him. And his little did I know, he suffered from a fragile heart condition. No idea of me knowing. But his wife was there.
Oh, gosh.
And right in front of us all, he died. And we couldn't revive him. We tried and couldn't revive him. So, long story short, I left the practice of law and took my friends up on going into the music business. They'd started a little production company. We started some other companies together and pursued the music business, mainly the film and television music business, for 20 years, and then sold the company to the Warner Music Group. And it became ultimately Warner Chappell Production Music, which is the third largest company in production music today. And my first job as the new president of the Warner Production Music Group was to go out and buy other companies and start rolling them up. So it was a fun time.
And what an amazing story.
Yeah.
And how did you get to Bonneville?
Well, after about a year in that role as president, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints came to me and asked my wife and I to take a 3-year leave of absence and go to the Pacific Islands to serve as mission leaders out there. So I became an ecclesiastical leader for 3 years, leading not only the members, but also a missionary force out there for the church. And we had a wonderful experience, wonderful time. It was lots of opportunities for service. It was in the Pacific Islands in the Micronesian area. So we headquartered in Guam. We flew 400,000 miles in 4 years, or 33 years, excuse me, 400,000 miles in 3 years. And it was an amazing eye-opener.
I can only imagine.
And after that experience was over, I came back and I had had a leave of absence agreement with Warner. But Warner had been sold itself during that time to Len Blavatnik. And I didn't have really an agreement to go back to. But a good friend of mine, you know him, Jeff Simpson.
Sure.
Who was at the time president of Bonneville, is now president of our parent company, Deseret Management Corporation. And Jeff and I went to breakfast. He asked me if I wanted to come and work for him, and I said yes.
And the rest is history.
Yeah, we've had a great run of it. Jeff left after about a year after that, and then Daryl Brown, who you know well, came in, and we had also a good run of it. So it's been a fun ride. I've had as much fun as I've ever had in my life in the last 12 years. So.
Well, you've had an amazing career at Bonneville. Well, you've had an amazing career, but you've had an amazing career and impact at Bonneville, and what some of our listeners and viewers probably don't know is you're retiring
now. This week, at the end of this week.
This week. And you've been a great supporter and participant on the RAB board. And I, for one, was so, even though I knew I was leaving, I was so shocked and personally disappointed, because you've been such a great spokesperson and statesperson for our industry.
Oh, thank you. I love the RAB. Take a RAB moment, if we can, right now. I remember so well our first meeting. It was my very first NAB, and we met as you and your entourage were sort of rushing from one point to another, and we met, and Jeff mentioned, I think you had talked to him before about the fact that I was going to serve on the board. And so we met, and you said, I'm going to catch you. I'll have more time with you at the radio show, which was later that year in Dallas. And I said, perfect. And so you went on, and he said all kinds of nice things about you and your team. And then come the radio show is where I really got to know the RAB. And I have believed in the mission of the RAB right from the get-go. I believe in providing as much service as we can to all of the people in radio. Principally, you know, we serve the sales side historically, but
correct.
Also with the programming side. I've seen you and your team reach out to try to help the programming side of the business, to help the administrative side of the business, to help on the legislative front, and certainly to help in terms of sales staff, getting them up and trained and give them a client management system that they can easily access and go deep into and make a great career out of it. So I truly believe in the RAB. I've had a lot of fun working on the board. a lot of fun working on the executive committee the last few years. If it didn't entail having to work every day of my life, I would stay on the board. But it comes with the territory if you're going to be on the board, right?
Unfortunately,
so,
it yeah. does.
So you have a new board member, Scott Sutherland.
We do with Scott.
And Scott will be incredibly good.
We are delighted that he's joining us and supporting us.
Yeah, he'll be terrific.
But the REB will miss you.
Yeah, I will miss it as well.
What are you thinking about life after after Bonneville?
It's going to be fun. I'm going to do some things that I've wanted to do more of. One of those is travel with my wife. We have a group of friends and we've traveled widely. So I've told you about some of those trips. And
yes.
We've gone to Israel and Africa. We've gone to Europe. We've gone to Asia. We've gone to the Pacific. We've gone all over the place over the last 35 years together. Five couples, really. We travel together. And we're going to do more of that. So that's one thing. But if that's all it was, I would stay working. I'm also going to golf some more, which I'm a very enthusiastic golfer, not a very good one. But I'm going to have a chance to maybe go a little bit more. And that's number two. But again, if that were just those two things, I would stay working. But really what I want to do is spend more time with my wife. As you know, as a busy career person, family life can sometimes suffer. And while I've done my best, and she's certainly been understanding, and she's terrific,
right?
I've been gone too much over my career, and my wife is Gayla, and she's an amazing human. We've been married for 45 plus years.
So great.
And we're going to spend some time together. We're going to spend some time the next 3 years doing some service. We've been asked to help with a community resource center in the Salt Lake Valley that's been established by West Valley City, which is a large part of the valley, and Salt Lake, and then the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints jointly working together to provide services that that certain communities struggle with. So we're going to be directing a community resource center where they teach English as a second language, children's literacy, art, music, sewing.
So there's a lot of important work ahead for you.
Yeah, so we try to be service oriented where we come from, and that's really so important to us. So we're going to do that for the next 3 years, and then who knows? Who knows after that?
Well, it's very exciting. So, Mike, as you leave us, if you were in charge of the entire radio industry, what advice would you have for us?
The very first piece of advice I would say is we can't lose hope. Sometimes it looks dim. I personally don't think it's going to remain dim for long. We have a new reality. The new reality is listenership is over terrestrial radio anymore, anyway, is down somewhat. Probably a secular shift in the listening habits, where a lot of people have switched to streaming, both podcasts as well as our own stations listening. And we share that space with some pretty good competitors, Spotify. Mainly Spotify these days. Amazon is doing their best, so is Apple, but generally it's Spotify right now. And that cast of characters will change and come and go, but we're still the primary streaming presence, even in the streaming world, is radio. And we need to take command of that space and say, no, our overall listening is up. It may be configured differently, the mix may be different, but we can't lose hope in the future of this medium,
right?
Both terrestrial and digital. So we need to own the fact that we have challenges, but those challenges are the same as any other disrupted industry. We should prevail in this space. We are now. We need to continue to prevail, but it'll only happen if we work hard. So that's number one. Number two, I think what I would say is we need to recruit young people. The future of the industry really depends upon us having a really strong foundation in the upcoming generations of radio broadcasters. And we need to work hard at getting new salespeople introduced to the industry. And it's an exciting, we all know, it's an exciting place to work. They have a swagger about them. You know, they walk in and they represent
brands
that play all of the coolest stuff on the planet.
Yes.
And talk about the important issues of the day and entertain people with their favorite games, wherever that may be. And so we do something that's extraordinarily cool. We need to really show that. And young people will come to that. People in engineering. We've been blessed at Bonneville to have some really, really upstanding, incredibly talented young engineers that have come into the fold just recently. We're not alone in that space, but we need to do more at getting the engineering side of things. And it's a melding of traditional radio engineering and the digital side, the real technical side of the digital world. And if we get them excited about what we do, there's a lot of really cool stuff that we can do. There's a specific thing that number three I wanted to talk about, and I don't know whether I'm just the lawyer talking about something that he doesn't know anything about or not, but it seems to me that spectrum, Erica, is spectrum. Mm-hmm. And our spectrum in the FM and AM bands is still very valuable real estate. And we have the license from the government to own a piece of that real estate, really. I mean, it's leased to us from the government, but we command that space. Mm-hmm. And what they just have accomplished on the TV side with the new ATSC 3.0 standard and the new compression that allows them to take what used to be one or two or maybe three channels, and now it's 27 possible channels in the same spectrum. Why can't we do that for radio? Because part of what they'll be doing with ATSC 3.0 is developing, and it's already happening, a return path for data that will come back. And what will happen eventually with that is attribution will be much easier.
Right.
We'll be able to show clients who buy in our medium exactly what they're buying. And ours will actually be more truth than fable, which you can't say necessarily in the pure play digital world. Why can't we do that for radio? Somebody needs to take a look at the, especially the FM spectrum, which is really high quality spectrum, and be able to say, how can we re-engineer that to get, we won't get 27, it's not that quality, but we can get 7, 8 channels.
Right.
Can you imagine our world if we can not only put out there our great radio stations.
Change overnight.
Yeah, but also data casting.
Yes.
Becomes a business for us. A return path for data that serves our purposes. Now, Xperi is all over this. They know what we have, mm-hmm. and as an industry, we ought to be waking up to the fact that we have a space that others would kill for. Literally, they'd go for it, and we can do something with that. That's beyond what we're able to do right now. The future is very bright if we will simply put the attention there, get our engineering, really our engineering geniuses,
right.
to start working on that and saying, let's develop a new standard, let's get new compression, let's do for the radio space, the radio bands, what they did for television, and let's see where we can take this.
Well, the NAB has their hands full.
Yes.
There's a lot of things I wish radio had the ability to do. The environment has changed so much.
Yeah.
And yet how we're managed through the FCC has barely changed.
Well,
and the world around us has changed so dramatically.
Yeah, it's true, and it's never, I don't think that's going to change. I think ultimately the evolution will happen, but it's going to be, as it always is with government and regulation, painfully slow.
Yeah.
What we need, as what TV did, is they jumped ahead of the regulatory scheme and came up with their own momentum.
Right.
Radio. Well, we have got to do the same thing. We have the capacity to do it. I don't have the brains to do it. I'm not smart enough to do this, but somebody out there does.
Are you going to have some time, part time, to help us do this?
Well, you give me a call.
All right, we will. So, Mike, as we let you go. As you know, we have the campaign Radio Matters Because, and from your perspective, Radio Matters Because?
It speaks to people. People's always the focus, and if we know that what we do changes lives, betters lives, ennobles people's lives, then we would have excitement about every day of our work. Radio doesn't just matter because we're putting a great product out there. We are. It matters because that product touches people. And people, we do, the world does revolve around us. Let's be honest. Now, other parts of our environment are very important, but my world revolves around people. And as long as I keep them first and foremost in my life, then radio will matter.
Right.
The people in the communities that we serve need what we give them. And that's what I think is at the heart of what Radio Matters.
And radio works because?
Radio works because we care. We care about the people. We care about the product and the quality of the product we're giving them. And ultimately, we care about each other. I've had wonderful friendships, including especially the one that we have had together. And I love you and your staff.
Okay, now I'm just going to start crying. Mike, thank you for taking some time.
Thank you.
I wish you so much joy and so much continued fulfillment as you start your new adventure. And please don't be a stranger.
I won't.
God bless you.
God bless you too, Erica.
Our friend Mike Dowdle not only talks the talk, but he walks the walk. As he shared in his personal chat with Erica, service is at the core of everything that he does, as well as is in Bonneville's DNA. In fact, Mike came to our podcast booth with not one, but two NAB Crystal Awards. One for KSL in Salt Lake City, the second for KMVP in Phoenix. It was the first sports station to ever win an NAB Crystal Award. Mike is a thoughtful and strategic thinker, and in his parting words, shares what he thinks radio can do to gain some ground, but most importantly, his belief in caring for people and why radio works for the exact same reason.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.